And in the book of Zechariah, we dealt with Haggai, and we dealt with Zechariah. Now, both of these men was in captivity down in Babylon. So Cyrus, Darius, the king, gave a decree that they would be able to go back to their homeland. Now, the prophet Zechariah was born in Babylon. And while he was there in Babylon, he learned about the word of God. And Zechariah and Hezekiah, they both ministered to the children of Israel. And they was telling them that the temple had been in ruin and the temple had to be rebuilt. Now, in all of that, they also gave the people a future hope. And that future hope was the Messiah will be coming. And through that, in Zechariah, he talked about the shepherd, he talked about the king, and he talked about the redeemer. Well, Zechariah had several visions, and all several visions he had, he was telling the people that what God was telling them, what they need to do. And when we look at all the prophet that God sent to the children of Israel to warn them about their behavior or their rebellious towards him. So we'll get to the lesson here in a few minutes, but I just kind of set the stages. It's amazing how the children of Israel went through so much, and the only thing they had to do was just to obey. That's what I wrestle with. But then I thought about myself before I became the Christ. I didn't obey. You know, same people. I didn't obey. And there was a time when I did obey. I found myself slipping away. So as we go, we always have to be reminded that we have an enemy as well. And that enemy is Satan. Satan have always tried to stop the work of God concerning Jesus. From Genesis all the way through the Bible, he have always tried to stop the word of God. So when you look at the adversary, Revelation 12 and 13 say his hatred for Christ. Revelation 12 and 3, his hatred for Christ. And Revelation 12 and 17, his hatred for God's people. Revelation 13 and 2, his power and authority. Revelation 13 and 4, his popularity among unbelievers. Revelation chapter 13 and 6, his blaspheming against God. Revelation 13, verses 7, his war against God's believers. Revelation 13 and 14, his ability to deceive us. So when you look at this, this have always been a battle between God and the devil. Always been this battle. And when you look at it, when God said, let us make man in our likeness, in our image, the devil was right there. Keep in mind, he was right there. And when God created Adam in his likeness and in his image, the devil was right there. He was right there. When Adam was placed in the Eden, in the Garden of Eden, the devil was right there. You have to understand the jealousy that Satan had toward God when God created man. Satan wanted to be God. He wanted that worship. He wanted to be worshiped. So what did he do? When God told Adam and Eve, this certain tree you should not touch, nor should you eat, and if you do so, you will surely die. But Satan came along and says, no. You don't pay no attention to God, because the moment you eat of this tree, you're going to be just like God. Wow. At that moment, Satan seen an opportunity to say, I want man to worship me. I want to be like God. And if I can deceive man to think that he'll live forever, that he would worship me. God already knew from the foundation that Jesus was going to be on his way. And what Zechariah was saying, he was telling the children of Israel, he was telling them that, listen, there is hope, and that hope is coming. He told them about the hope. They didn't see the hope, but we experience today, don't we? But he was telling a future hope. All of these things that the devil put on you, sickness and pain and depression, all of this stuff that Satan put on mankind, a deliverance will be coming soon. The great Redeemer will be coming soon. They may not have understood this dream or this vision that they were having, but they spoke it because they was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so, the night class, we're going to look into Zechariah, because Zechariah had that same sort of vision that Daniel had. God spoke to Zechariah in certain visions. So, tonight we're going to deal with 5, 6, and 7. And when we meet again, we're going to complete the whole book of Zechariah. That would be 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. And it's talking about Jesus coming on the scene. So let us turn our Bibles to Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. And I want someone to, we all going to read, so I want someone to pick up, we're going to read chapter 6, then from chapter 6, we're going to read chapter 7, but first we're going to read, someone pick up, start reading, and we're going to read the whole chapter of chapter 6, then once we deal with chapter 6, we're going to chapter 7.
Then I turned and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, four chariots were coming from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze. And the first chariot were red horses, the second chariot were black horses, and the third chariot were white horses, and with the fourth chariot, dapple horses, strong steeds. When I answered and said to the angel who talked with me, what are these?
Someone else can pick it up. Where you at?
Nine.
Okay, verse 9. Someone pick up from verse 9. Voice of the Lord your God. When you look at chapter 6 here, we're looking at how it involved, you see how it involved the Messiah? You see how it involved the Messiah? When it says, then I turned aside and raised my eyes and looked, behold, I saw the fourth chariot was coming between the two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of brass. With that first chariot was a red horse. Let's stop there. The scholar says the one riding on the red horse was probably Christ. Red horse. And with the second chariot, black horse. With the third chariot, white horse. And with the fourth chariot, dapper horse, strong, sturdy. Then I answered and said to the angels, who talked with me? What are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said to me, these are four spirits of heaven who go out from the station before the Lord of all the earth. It's amazing that God still has spies, don't he? He still have his spiritual spies checking in on the believers, seeing how we doing. That's amazing that how God checks up on, have angels have checking up on us. Then it goes to say, before the Lord of all the earth, the one with the black horse is going to the north country. What you're looking at is that how all of these angels, they was, you notice when God asked Satan, says, where are you going? What did he say? I'm going to and fro. And so here's these angels, what they're doing, they are walking. They're saying about the saints of God. And what we have to realize here is that God was watching over Israel. He was watching over Israel. Why? Because here, listen to this. Israel was a special people to God. Jesus had to come through Israel. Why? Because he chose the Jews for Jesus to come through. Why is that? But Israel had an attitude. Israel wanted to be like every other nation. And what you're looking at when we get to this point, that Israel wanted to be just like every other nation God was Israel's king. And when we look in 1 Samuel, I think chapter 8, when they began to complain, when the leaders went to Samuel and said, listen, your sons, you are old. Listen, we need a judge. We need a king. We need somebody over us. But what did God say? Listen, I'm your king. I carried you through the desert. I watched over. I'm your king. But he told Samuel, he said, Samuel, listen, this is not against you. They doing this thing to me. They doing it to me. But I tell you what, this is what this king is going to do. But the point of it is, I don't care what Israel did, God still had mercy on them. I don't care what you and I do. The same people, God have mercy upon us. Yes, sister. Yes. 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 Yeah. I'm going to give them what they want. Yes. Yes. Kept Judah pure. And when you look at, I want you to take a really deep dive with me. When you look at the God of Eden, paradise, beautiful place, all gorgeous place, beautiful place, where Adam and Eve was fellowshipping with God Almighty. But the devil came along, as I stated earlier, the devil came along and he erupted all of that. Now, when we go to 1 Kings chapter 11, if I'm thinking, that what did Samuel do? Samuel built a beautiful temple where the Israelites could go in and worship. But what happened? Again, Satan came, had all these beautiful women. He had all these beautiful women. David said, listen, what you do, follow God's commandment. Obey God's commandment. He told Solomon to do that. But all these women came along. And what did Satan do? Satan got right in between there. I'm going to give him this one. I'm going to give him that one. I'm going to give him this one. To Solomon just went crazy. All hog wild. I don't know if I'm going to be salad. I don't know if I'm going to be with salad tonight. I don't know if I'm going to be with Geraldine tonight. I don't know who I'm hanging out with tonight. Yes.
When we look at why you did that, I wouldn't have did that. You haven't learned anything. Same people.
Same people.
You can look in the mirror and see yourself. Then you can learn the lesson. And then you can better yourself. So that's why God gave us. But when we look at it, we say, if I was Peter, ain't no way I would have been that Lord.
Yeah.
You know, if God had brought me out of Egypt, ain't no way I would have been. Yes, we would.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the garden, same story.
Same story.
With same people.
Same people.
So,
That's why I dive into the Old Testament, because sometimes we get away from it. We need to go and find out what happened. What happened? Sometimes we get away from it and we enter the New Testament, but we have to be reminded what happened. How do we get there? How do we get here? We got here because the Savior died on the cross for us. That's why we're here. So when we look at the beautiful temple that Solomon had made, where the Israelites would go in and to worship and fellowship, but because all of these strange women turned Solomon's heart away from God. And what happened? It was split. It was split. It was split. So let me tell you something. Anytime we rebel against God, there's a price that we have to pay. If I say I love you and I really don't love you, I'm rebelling against God. If I mistreat you, do wrong against you, I'm rebelling against God. If I just say all sort of bad stuff against you, I'm rebelling against God. And there's a price I have to pay. We don't realize that. It is example when Israel, when they rebelled against God, there was a price they had to pay. A lot of them lost their lives, but God had to say, listen, I love you, but I'm not going to tolerate that. I'm not going to tolerate that. And that same God yesterday is the same God today. We can get out here and live any kind of way, and there's a price we have to pay. Moses said, be surely that your sin will find you out. Surely that your sin will find you out. But Zechariah was a man sent from God. And as you look at some of the false prophecy and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, I got the scripture down, but it's too many. It'll take a long time. But when you go and look at all of these prophets, the righteous prophet that God sent to the children of Israel to tell them about them, their behavior, they wouldn't listen to the righteous prophet. They allowed themselves to listen to the false prophets. And it cost them. And it's cost them. We must be aware each and every day what's taking place. These prophecies, these Haggai, Zechariah, Nehemiah, Ezra, and all of these prophets, Jeremiah, all of Daniel, all of these prophets, listen, God placed them in the world to tell them about the Savior that is coming into the world. About the Savior is coming into the world. The fourth chariot in chapter 6, verses 1, Zechariah sees four horses of different colors pulling four chariots. They quickly ran through the entire earth with the results that God's spirit had rest. This vision represents a judgment upon the enemies of God's people, Israel. After the judgment, God's wrath would be, after the wrath, God's judgment will be, we will be against Babylon and others. The final vision brings the series of vision full circle. That vision has predicted these horses at the end of their mission is a similar judgment also used in the imagery of a horse that we can find in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 8. Let's go there. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, 1 through 8. Now this is John, the Revelator. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. And I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked and behold a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, furious red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. The third seal, strictly on earth. When I opened the third seal, I heard the living creature say, come and see. So I looked and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a, how you pronounce that? Darius. And the three quarts of barley for the Darius, and do not harm the oil or the wheat. Now, here Zechariah is talking about the horses, and the one was sitting on the horse, the red horse, was one that of Christ. And here Zechariah says here, the one sitting on the red horse was Christ himself sitting on the red horse. Because of the first rider is on the white horse and is conquering, some take it to be Christ. If so, his full conquer will considerable delay. Other widely held view or that this is the Antichrist or the spirit of conquered of the spirit that is conquered will be conquered by whom sits on the horse, giving glory and honor to God Almighty. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, one day will bring peace to the earth, to all those who have followed him and have kept his command. Jesus himself will bring peace on earth to those who followed his command. Zechariah had these visions, church. Zechariah had these visions. The flying scroll, chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Zechariah said, large scroll written on both sides, flying over the whole land. This vision speaks of God's judgment upon those who disobeyed his law. Zechariah chapter 5, he was letting the people know what God expects out of them. He was letting them know what God expects out of them. He brought encouragement. He was telling them it was time to get busy, like Haggai, it's time to get busy on rebuilding the temple. He brought them hope. He brought them future hope by letting them know one day the Savior, the Messiah, would come. When you look at the seed of Abraham and David, Jesus have always been on his way. Jesus have always been making his way to earth. When we look at John chapter 1, John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He's talking about Jesus. When we look at how all the Jews, those Pharisees, tried to stop Jesus. They tried to stop Jesus. They set out to kill him. But keep in mind, Satan was right there with them. Satan was right there with them. Satan was their president, and he was their representative to stop the seed from coming to earth. Zechariah prophesied about, listen, Jesus is coming. He is the one who will be riding on a donkey. He is the one who will be sold for the several pieces of silver. He is the one who will be beaten and bruised for our iniquity. He is the one who will die and rose the third day. Why? Because he is the Son of God. Zechariah said, what is coming that you don't know about? I'm telling you, this is true. that Jesus is coming. A lot of these visions that a lot of people didn't understand, this is why that you really, and I tell everybody, get yourself a concordance, get yourself a dictionary, and read up, because it's sometimes, like a lot of people don't deal with Revelation because they get confused about, you know, the seals and the beasts and the lions and stuff. So here's Zechariah saying, this is what we have to realize. The devil knew that Jesus was God's only true son, that he would be coming to earth to save the lost. Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 to 66. Jesus told his disciples that he would rise on the third day. Matthew 16:20 and 17. Mark 9 and 3. Jesus told his disciples, I will rise on the third day. But the devil knew that Jesus was God's only begotten son. He tried to stop that. They tried to bribe, pay money to say, listen, Jesus not gonna rise, he's not gonna rise on the third day. He's not gonna do that. Satan fell in that opportunity to stop that. What did he do? What are he doing today? He's coming after the church. He's coming after the church. What Satan is doing today, he's confusing the mind of men and women today to say Jesus did not rise. Jesus just only a man. He's not God's son. But what we have to realize is this, is that, listen, these men of God prophesied the coming of our Savior. When we look at this, whenever you see or run into people that doubt God's Son will be coming into the world, or don't believe that God's Son is a true Son. Some think he's a prophet, some say he's just a regular man, but this thing has been on course from the beginning of foundation. This thing has been making its way on down through time. False prophecy said there's no way, don't believe it. False prophecy said no, that won't happen. You can't believe it. But here is Joshua telling us, this is what is going to take place. Rebuilding the temple is what we have to do. We have to be reminded that who Jesus is. Jesus is on his way. Jesus will save the people from their sin, from their depression, will bring them hope, give them life more abundantly. Satan have held man all of these years. Man didn't really want to believe that there was a God, but when you look at when they tried to build a tower at Babylon, God confused their language. Man have always tried to do things on their own. Listen, none of us apart from God, we cannot do anything without him. We live and we breathe everything. We breathe his air. So when you look at all the prophecies have been prophesizing about Jesus coming on the scene, read and pay close attention to what he's saying. They are saying that, listen, there is one that is coming. The one sits on the red horse. The scholars say it's Jesus. Always remember this, church, if you don't remember nothing else. God has always placed plainly in our sight that Jesus is truly his son. Born of a virgin. Born in a manger. Hunted down. Tempted of Satan. If you be the son of the living God, why don't you come down? Why don't you worship me? But Satan said, listen, thou shalt only worship the Lord thy God and him only. If you be the son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written. Those scriptures there are for you and I. It is written when Satan, Brother Morgan and I was talking Sunday about something, and Brother Morgan said something so important. He said, Lace, as long as we live, we're going to have to be dealing with Satan. He said, as long as we live, we're going to have to deal with him. So we have to understand that he is the enemy of our soul. And we really get when we really get a full picture of that, he wants every last one of in here. If he had his authority to wipe us out right now, he would. Yes. 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 Amen. Same thing. That's right. Recognize. Satan, recognize. Yes. Yes. When you're drawn away. Yeah.
So just accept responsibility for your flesh.
Yes.
Take control.
But you know, that's why we have the Holy Spirit to help us. Yeah, that's why we have the Holy Spirit to help us. Sister King said something so important. What we have to look at is this. God has already given us a way out.
That's right.
We just got to follow that way out. He already gave us a way to escape. But sometimes, as Brother Sam was talking about on Sunday, sometimes we allow a past to get in the way, and we can't escape. We allow a past to get in the way. But the more and more that we read and more we study, we know that we have an enemy, and we are no match for him. But God, as long as we stay in his hand, he's going to fight our battle. He will fight our battle. It is when we get away from him. And the sad thing that bothered me so bad is that I've seen many brothers and sisters have walked away, man. Yes.
He Absolutely.
So that's why he told us to be alert.
Yep. Be aware. Be sober.
And he told us to put on the whole
armor of God. Yes.
And he told us to pray constantly.
Constantly.
So we can't just send back to God that
way. Yeah.
We gotta
be on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul said we don't fight with flesh and blood.
Amen.
We don't fight with flesh and blood. But God, you know, in this word, he expect for us to, the Bible, I heard one guy said, God gives us 5 cents, not 5 pennies. 5 cents, but not 5 pennies. He said we have to use naturally what God gives us. And when we use what God gives us, then what happened, he give us more. He gives us more. But the thing about Zechariah, from the priestlyhood, Zechariah came to warn Israel, the return, that listen, it was important that we start building the Lord temple. The first temple had been destroyed. Solomon Temple. Nebuchadnezzar came and took everything out of the temple. It is because we allow things to get in our way. It's when we don't allow God to stay in front of us. And when we go left or go right, we're always going to find ourselves in trouble. It has been said, a man that put his hand to the plow and look back is not fit for the kingdom. Peter said, once you have escaped the corruption of this life and you turn back, listen. Listen. This is what these men were saying. You got a Messiah coming. He's come to rescue you. This is why that we have all of these different religions today, because Satan is in the midst of them. Satan is in the midst of them. Satan is in the midst. And if he can confuse us, this is why we always have to sharpen our minds. But if he can confuse us, wow, man. His job is to confuse us. But like you said, we got to be aware of him. We have to be aware of them. And many believers who started this race know better. But because their hearts and mind became like demons, they thought about this present world. They're saying, this is too hard. This is too hard. I can't deal with this. This is too much for me. What am I getting out of this? You know what you're getting out of this? You're getting eternal life to spend your whole life with Christ Jesus. Man, let me tell you something. Just that alone would should tell us, listen, what are you getting out of it? You're getting eternal life. Not only eternal life, but you're getting blessings while you're down here. Healing, blessing, favors. Christ didn't come here just for nothing. They prophesize about him coming as Lord and King, priest, being sold out for silver, 30 pieces of silver, being stabbed in the back by his own, the Pharisee, being talked about by his own, the Pharisee, being lied on by his own, the Pharisee. But yet, what did he do? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Peter says, some of y'all that who crucified him, y'all sold him out, y'all misused him. And you think about Jesus left heaven home. Fox have holes, bird have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. You think about that. You think about how he was beaten, cast lots for him, talked about him, did all these things for him, and died a horrible death, and still say, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what? I tell you what, when you look at this, this should bring all of us to our knees, that the Son of Man, who had it all in heaven and came down, he died, he became poor, that you and I may be rich in the world. That's what it's all about. That's why these men, and I'm sorry, I said that we was going to get to six, seven, and eight, but we'll pick it up. But my thing that I'm saying to all of us is that Jesus has always been on his way. And Jesus is back on his way. He was on his way. He's back on his way to receive those belongs to him. I'm telling you, time is winding out. We have very little time. The way to kill them, where our country is going, the way mothers and fathers are fighting, where just the way things are going. You can't walk out your door, you can't say nothing to people these days unless somebody getting angry with you about what you say. We right now things are just, but those who know the Lord have hope. You can't be afraid of someone who destroyed his body, but be afraid of the one who can destroy both the body and soul in hell. That's who we got to be afraid of. Because if you know him, you don't have nothing to worry about. Listen, next time, I promise you, Lord's willing, when we come back together, we're gonna wrap this up. But my thing is just that I wanted to, there's a whole lot of scriptures that I had from Ezekiel and Jeremiah, talking about the coming of Christ. It will take a long time. And so next time we'll get through that. But I just wanted to say tonight that how did we get from there to here? We got from there to here because the rebellion of God's people and God promised us a relief. A redeemer, a savior. God don't lie, God can't lie, God won't lie. God is true, and the truth always would stand. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne tonight, we thank you. Father, I hope there was something I said that would help all of us tonight. We ask for those who are sick among us, Father, that you continue to touch their bodies. Continue to look down on Brother Fox and his family. Continue to look down on other members here at the church that who's going through some health issues, not only them, but their family as well. We ask you to keep us safe, Father, as we go about our daily lives. We ask you, Father, have the heavenly angels to stand guard over us. We ask that you forgive us and that you would help us. And, Father, let us be ever mindful that you're a big God. You're a righteous God. You're a merciful God. You sit high and you look low. And you see everything about us. Thank you for supplying our needs. Father, let us always to seek you first. And we know that you will add the things that we need in our lives. We ask that you keep us safe. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.